It's great to be back again. It was a wonderful time of worship. And the last songs that we sang, I don't need anyone else, I don't need anything else. You are my one thing. Yeah. It's a wonderful song, but how many of us would live that in our lives? That He would truly be our one thing. Yeah. If He truly asks you of something that is really dear to you, would you be willing to part of it?
Yeah.
Would you be willing to let go of it? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it's easy to sing the songs. But what about living it? You know, Psalm 27, David cries out and speaks about it and says, you know, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in His house all the days of my life. One thing I desire. Yeah. And you look into Psalm 63, David has lost his kingdom. His son Absalom is after him. Yeah. He's after his life. He's lost it all. And yet in Psalm 63, he's crying out to God, oh God, you are my God. Yeah. Early will I seek thee. Yeah. One thing. When Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, Jesus spoke these words to Martha and said, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that. Come on, let's ask ourselves, are we people who truly seek the one thing? The one thing. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus speaks and says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. You know, we will always be put through situations where we will be tested. Whether we have Isaacs in our lives. And when we have those Isaacs, we will never begin to see the fullness of what God wants to do. The abundance that God wants to pour upon us. Now I pray that God would convict us of those things that are occupying our minds, occupying our lives, that are taking His place, so that we would be willing to let go and experience all that He has for us. Yep. When we begin to see Abraham's story, God told Abraham, he needs to let go of his one thing, his Isaac. Come on. Are we people who just sing it, or are we people who live it? Well, today I want to speak about obedience, the key to being fruitful. To be fruitful in life. Yeah? When you open to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read verse 1, can have it on the screen. Deuteronomy 28:1, it says, yeah. Now it shall come to pass, if you, listen to this, yeah, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. You know, God has called us to be people who are the head and not the tail. We are called to be givers and not borrowers. We are called to be the blessed people of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And here He's speaking a simple secret. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord. Diligently obey. You know, when you look at the word diligently obey the voice of the Lord, it's the word observe, when you see it, and to observe it carefully, it means to watch over the world, to be attentive to the world, to look narrowly, or to be, you know, so particular that you are sensitive to do what God asks of you. Are we such people that are willing to listen from Him and act on it? Because that's where the blessings are. That's where you will begin to see your life transformed. You know, when you look into the life of Saul, he messed up. Because he partly obeyed God, but partly did not. When you look into 1 Samuel 15 verse 22, we see Samuel speaking to Saul. He says that, then Samuel said, has the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? That means no matter what religious activities we do, that's not important before God. How you react, how you live, how you obey His voice is what He's watching. Are we willing to act on what He speaks? Because we can do all the religious things. You may come on Sunday services. You may have all the house groups. You may perform all the fasting days. You may have intercessory meetings. But there will be things that God requires you to do. If you don't obey it, you will not experience the fullness that God has for you. That amazing blessing that God has stored up for you. So I want to speak about being obedient to God today. Being obedient. Now when we talk about the voice of the Lord, we know God speaks to the scriptures. We also know God speaks to prophets. We also know God speaks to us through His Spirit. As we begin to spend time with Him, as we begin to build our walk with Him, He begins to direct our path. Yeah? And that's what I want to focus on today. Today we know that God ministers to us through His Spirit. When we ask Him, He begins to reveal things to us and tell us what we need to do. Sometimes it's word by word, part by part. When we look into scriptures and we see in Acts chapter 9 verse 10, we see Ananias. Okay, it says there in Acts chapter 9 verses 10 to 16. Okay, we read from verse 10. It says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Amazing to hear the voice, right? Amazing. God speaks to us. He still speaks even today. Amen?
Amen.
He still speaks today. He is not dead. He's still alive. And He still ministers to anyone who seeks to hear from Him. Let's see what happens next. "So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying.'" Now God speaks to him and directs him, "Go and meet this man named Saul." Now, Ananias had heard the reports of Saul. He knew what Saul had done, how he was persecuting the church. And says that, and in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Next verse. "Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.'" Now Ananias had an option, had a choice. Should he listen to the voice of the Lord or should he not? Because his emotions, his logic, the circumstances told him, "Don't go. Saul is a dangerous man." Saul's reports, testimonies are, he has been out to kill Christians. Maybe it's your own voice you're listening to. Maybe it's your own feelings. Well, maybe it could harm your life. Ananias could have had all the reasons not to listen to that voice. And just imagine if Ananias had not listened to the voice of the Lord, would we have a Saul who turned to become Paul? Would we have the amazing testimonies that followed later? Would we have a man who turned the world upside down? Would we have the amazing letters that we read today? It was this one man's obedience to the voice of the Lord that transformed Saul to become Paul, that today we are blessed by the letters of that man Paul. That one man's obedience has impacted the church even today.
Yeah.
But if he had not obeyed, if he had not listened, would you and I have been where we are today? I don't know. I don't know. But it was Ananias' obedience that mattered. The same way in our walk with God, it's our obedience. Your one yes to God, your one yes to God could transform somebody's life somewhere, could transform your life, could transform your family, could transform your finances. Your one yes to God. Sometimes we have all the logical reasons to say no. No, God, it makes no sense. No, God, what if it destroys my life? What about my future, God? You know, especially when it comes into the area of giving, it really questions us, God, what about my future? What about my days ahead? What about my plans? Ananias did not think of it all. God spoke. He thought, he struggled for a moment. We all struggle for a moment. But Ananias obeyed. He obeyed. Let me ask us, are we people who obey the voice of the Lord? The next scripture, let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 29. It says then, in Acts verse 8, 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Now we know the story of the eunuch, right? The eunuch was passing by, and the Holy Spirit directs Philip what needs to be done. And what happens next? Philip runs, he goes to the chariot, ministers to the eunuch, and we see that eunuch transformed. An obedience to God, just being directed by the Holy Spirit, transformed an eunuch's life. And we look into Acts chapter 16, verse 9. We see Paul there now. Here it says, Acts 16, verse 9. We see Paul in that scripture. Okay? Yeah. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now we see God is directing Paul into his missionary work, where to go, whom to meet, how to speak, where not to go. There are times God will tell you not to go into certain places. There are times God will tell you to go into certain places. Are we so sensitive to the voice of the Lord that we would listen to him and act on his directions?
Amen.
Because that's where fruitful life comes. That's where the ministry is fruitful. That's where our business is fruitful. That's where our family will be fruitful. That's where our finances will be fruitful. Sometimes we mess up so much because we move by the flesh. Because we move by what we hear. Oh, the whole world is moving into this pattern of investment. And we all run. We are all herd chasers, running wherever the crowd is. But how many of you know, sometimes God moves away from the crowd. He does things different from the crowd. Zacchaeus, to meet Jesus, he had to move away from the crowd. Come on. Are we people that are willing to obey the voice of the Lord? Because that's where you will begin to see your life transformed. When you look into Ananias and Sapphira, we know what they're giving, right? In Acts chapter 5, we see, is it okay now? Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Yeah, it says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. I believe the Lord must have stirred their hearts to give. Yeah? Because by nature, humans, we are not givers. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We want to think of our future. We want to think about our lives. We want to think about our children. Giving, and that just selling everything and giving, that can only come from the Lord. And yeah, I believe the Holy Spirit must have definitely stirred their hearts. And it says here, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of him, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. I believe the Holy Spirit must have stirred Ananias' heart to do a certain thing. And that's why he was accountable for what he did. For man's eyes, he gave half of whatever the portion was, he gave it for the kingdom work. So people must have said, or maybe some people from the church must have said, wow, he's a giver. But God knows. The Spirit of God knew what he had directed Ananias and Sapphira to do. He was instructed what had to be done, and he did not obey the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And there's definitely consequences for disobeying God's voice. And that's why so many Christians, we are stuck in a rut. We are stuck in a situation just because we choose to live a life of disobedience. You may be saved because you believe Jesus, You are washed in His blood. You are, you know, you are reading the word. You are walking in your Christian walk. You may be saved, but the question is, are we living a victorious Christian life here on earth? Yeah. We have our names written in the book of life, but God wants you to have life not just for eternity. He wants you to have life even now.
Amen.
Now. When you look into Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So it's not speaking about "I shall not want" about eternity. It's speaking about "I shall not want" also in the now. In the now. In the now. Your now. So if we say we are Christians, if we say we are connected to Jesus, we need to be people who live in obedience to Him, to hear His voice, to do as He directs us,
amen,
as He leads us. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Come on. That means if we are His sheep, we will hear His voice. He will direct us, and they follow me, He says. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
Yeah.
Follow me means as He instructs, we act. As He guides, we follow. As He tells us, we do. Are we such people? Listening to His voice, acting on it. I tell you, your life can never be the same. Because, you know, when you listen to His voice, He will always challenge you to do things that you don't like to do. He will always challenge you to move out of your comfort zone. You don't like that. He will always challenge you. He will stretch you. You may feel it's painful, but it will always be done for your good. For a great future for you. When you look into Romans chapter 8, it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, led, being led, you are called to be led. You are called to be led by the Spirit of God. You are sons of God. Led, that means He's leading us, I follow.
Amen.
I want to challenge us. Let's stir our hearts. You know, it's not just about church service. It's not just about reading the Bible. It's not just about spending that 1 hour in prayer. It's not just about, you know, meeting Christians. It's much more than that. It's about having deep communion with God. It's about a fellowship with Him. It's about walking with Him. It's about hearing from Him and obeying Him. It's about your relationship. Today I want to challenge us. Are we in a relationship with God? Or are we in a religion with God? When you look into the works of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that Paul writes is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That means that don't displease Him. Don't do things that He does not like. Don't hurt Him. There's another place He says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. That means what He's telling you to do, do it. Don't stop Him. Don't suppress Him. And so many of us, we suppress the work of God. We disobey Him by not doing what He asks of us. And there are things that He will always, because if you are connected to Him, He will always guide you. He will always guide you. If you are connected to Him. But if you are distant from Him, you will always live your own life, your own plans, your own dreams. But if you are connected with Him, He will always see that you are always dependent on Him.
Amen.
You know, there was somebody in my church in Goa. This is in our beginning days. We would get only 5 people in church.
Yeah.
And who were the 5? That's how we started. Prior to that, we were 600 people. 600 people were coming for our meetings, and then God shook us. God had to shake us to, you know, begin to be more dependent on Him. God had to shake us. People from 600 dropped to 5 people.
Wow.
There was a big shaking that happened.
Wow.
But in that phase, when there were only 5 people coming to church, we were going through a financial crisis. And because I have been serving the Lord for the last 29 years, 29 years fully dependent on the Lord, no salaries coming, we were going through a crisis. at that point of time, suddenly, a person heard about us and started visiting the church. We did not know who this person is. Personally, we had no connections, but started coming to church every Sunday. Gradually, God started blessing this person. And this person became a good giver to the church. So we started seeing funds coming in, good substantial amounts where we could do things for the work of God. Now what happened is, every month in the beginning, we knew this person would give the tithe. You know what happens, right? Then Mr. X or Miss X becomes the person to focus on. And what happened is, this continued. This person was a blessing for maybe a year, 1.5 years, 2 years. And then gradually our hearts began to be, oh, we don't need to worry. We can continue with our expenses. We can go into this, we can do that, we can do this. The funds are coming. Suddenly, the next month, God took the person out. Out. Again, we were dependent on the Lord. God stirred up our lives so that we would be people who cling onto Him. Cling onto Him. The moment our eyes are set on man, He will stir you up. He will shake that nest. He will disturb things. That's why if people are gone out of your life, thank God. Because God knows He's doing something in you. Mm-hmm. He's working a work in you. Sometimes we want to cling on to people that leave. But come on, let's let go of them and keep clinging on to God, who will lift you up.
Amen.
Who will add the right people in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I had someone who was like my right-hand man. Someone that I knew if, as long as he is there, the work of God will be so easy. Because he was like the evangelist in the church. And I was like the main person who would disciple and build people and lift them up. So he and I were working together as a team. It was a wonderful team. But then suddenly, the nest got stirred up. And he flew away. He moved. I thought everything's finished now. I thought that work now will be shattered. What's going to happen to our ministry? But the Lord shifted my gaze back again onto Him. And from there again, the work started. We began. Today we have a church that's doing fairly well, not that well, but fairly well, but keeping our eyes constantly on the Lord. Because we need to move where God moves.
Yeah.
Not be stuck with our fixed structure. Where God moves, we move. Where the glory goes, we go.
Yeah.
Where His presence is, we be. Because hearing His voice is what matters.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time, I will just share a few testimonies on how the Lord led me. I would go into a mission work to Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah.
And we had an amazing team there. I had an amazing team set there. And for one particular meeting, my keyboardist, my worship leader, he did not carry an extra set of clothing. Yeah. So, now what to do? The next day's meeting, what to do? And as I was praying, he came, just before I could get into prayer, he came and told me, I don't have an extra shirt, what should I do? So I was like, okay, we'll see, we'll get it organized. And as I was sitting to pray, I had a very good shirt, my favorite, which I would never give it to anybody, my favorite. I loved that shirt. I was once a man who had a big wardrobe. I had maybe 5 to 7 shirts, that's it. I did not have many things. And from all that I had, that one was my favorite one. I would wear it for all my particular meetings, like especially the end of the like 3-day meetings, the 3rd day, that was my highlight shirt. That was my shirt to wear. So as I sat to pray, the Lord says, stop praying, get up, go get him that shirt that you love. I was like, God, not that one. I've got another one. I'll give him the other one. But God was very specific. Give him the one you love. I had to obey. The moment I let go, the very next thing is, I see next month's time, I get a floodgates of shirts. That's what God does for us. When we begin to let go, go home and you begin to hear His voice. You know, we don't need to do it in the flesh. Sometimes you tend to do things in the flesh. No, when you listen from heaven and act on it, you will see your floodgates open.
Amen.
You will see those doors, the shut doors, opened up in your life. Sometimes you're praying for this particular door to open, it's not opening up. Then you need to ask God whether you have to wait at that door, or maybe there's another door that's going to open up, or maybe there's something you need to do to open that door.
Amen.
Hearing His voice. We need to be people that listen to Him. You know, there was Melvin, Pastor Melvin and Pastor Manita know about this. We purchased a place back home in Goa. The place cost us around £120,000. I've converted it to pounds, okay? £120,000 the place cost us back in Goa. When the Lord led us to buy this, I had no money in the bank account. I had only 38.50 pounds. That was my bank account, my bank balance. The church, we did not have funds. One day I was talking to an unbeliever, a pagan, and as he was talking to me, he's asking me, should I invest in that property? What do you feel? So I told him, of course, it's a very good prime land, it will definitely appreciate. And then I spoke a few words and then he went. The moment he went, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you are telling Him I want you to step out now. I want you to do it. I want you to buy the place there.
Amen.
We had to stretch. God led us to sell everything that we had. We heard His voice. We acted on it. It was difficult, but we acted on it, and today we've got our own place. Because we heard His voice.
Amen.
Obeying His voice is what matters. Listen from His voice. Listen to Him. That at that same time when we were buying that property, okay, we were trying to arrange funds. One day as I was praying and I was talking to the Lord told me, there's this preacher, this man, this woman of God, I want you to transfer funds to her. I said, God, I need the money. I am buying a property and you're telling me to transfer money into her account? No, this doesn't make sense. I spoke to my wife. My wife is saying, if God has told you, you better get rid of it. Get it out from the account. Send it. I was like, no ways, we need money. And it's not less money, we need a huge amount. Again, I sat to pray and the Lord says, I don't want you to sit here, do what I ask you to do. So immediately I spoke to my wife, we transferred the funds to another ministry, we blessed them. And then immediately the next day, we saw funds just flowing in as we let go. You see, when we obeyed the voice of the Lord, God opened up the doors for us. The floodgates opened up. I want to tell you, you want to live a victorious life, you need to listen from Him. Listen to Him and act on it. He will tell you to do things that stretch you. You know, I normally tell people, you know, a rubber band? Rubber band? You get rubber bands here?
Yeah.
A rubber band, the more it is stretched, yeah, when you stretch a rubber band, you can put more money in it, right?
Amen.
Yeah, you can put more notes in it. The same way, when God stretches you, He's preparing you to receive more.
Amen.
He's preparing you to receive more.
Amen.
I want to challenge us. Listen to His voice. It's going to be difficult, but do it. When you think about, and people sometimes hurt us, right, in our walk with God. Sometimes people don't treat us well. There was somebody in our church, in the church back home, who would come for our meetings. And every time he would keep creating problems among us. Every time. Every time we would ignore it, overlook it, let go of it. There was one time that he went and divided the church. He created a division among us. At that point of time, as I was praying, the Lord told me, go and meet him. So I thought it's just a casual meet. Maybe I need to confront him and tell him, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing. This is wrong. This is not the right way to do it. You're messing up. God will judge you. You know, so I went to meet him. I sat down in his house. Holy Spirit tells me, ask him to forgive you. Why should I say sorry? He is messing up. He's destroying the work. Why should I say sorry? Again, I heard the voice. Ask him to forgive me. I fell on my knees, literally, it actually happened. I went on my knees, I held on to his feet, and I said, forgive me. But don't move away from God. Don't turn away from the Lord.
Amen.
You may feel the church is wrong. You may feel people are wrong. God is never wrong. I held on to his feet. At that point of time, he looked at me and he said, see, you had to say these words. You had to ask forgiveness from me. It was very painful for me. I felt so belittled at that point of time. But I got up with peace in my heart. I went with the joy of the Lord because I obeyed what the Lord told me to do. But do you know what happened after that? The Lord just blew our ministry in such a way that things just shifted. People from all over Goa, from all over our state, started hearing of us. God began to draw people to the ministry. We began to see supernaturally God working and transforming lives. There was one testimony where one woman, okay, a goat, you know, a goat, with horns, had banged. As she was walking on the road in India, you get animals walking loosely on the road. So this goat was on the streets, and as this woman was walking, what came over the goat, we don't know, but the goat went and banged into her back. The goat's horn cracked the back, and her back shifted. It was a bent shift back, you know, the bones. She suffered for many years. She came for one of our meetings. And as the anointing, you know, I believe it has we worship the Lord, we don't need to do things. God does it on his own.
Yeah.
So as we were worshiping the Lord, we just called people having bone issues, come in the front. She came in the front. We did not know anything that's happened. The power of God hit her and she was completely healed.
Amen.
Healed. God began to move with power. As I listened to the voice of the Lord. You know, it was belittling me for that moment when I went to ask that man forgiveness, but I was honored before the eyes of the Lord. God lifted me up. Come on, I want to tell you, let us be people who obey his voice. It may seem difficult, but I tell you, it will bring great rewards. It will shift your life. It will transition you to the next level that you are praying for. Sometimes you are praying and praying and praying and nothing's happening. Well, ask the Lord, what is it that you have been asking me to do? So that as I obey you, I will see your glory in my life. You know, when we, many years back, as I was visiting the hospital, I don't know if I shared this testimony with you, but as I was visiting the hospital for prayer, those years they would allow us to go back to bed. You know, so we would go in the hospital praying over everybody on the bed. So as I was visiting this hospital, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go to a particular bed. I went to that bed. There was a lady, her leg was lifted up, and there was traction. You know, the good weight to get, because her hip was fractured. This portion was fractured. And she was due for an operation. So as I went to that bed, the Holy Spirit asked me to ask her, do you want to be healed? Do you believe Jesus heals? She said, yes, I believe Jesus heals. So do you believe he will heal me now? The Holy Spirit made me ask her. So she said, yes, I believe he will heal me now. I do not expect the Holy Spirit to tell me to do the next thing. The next thing that he tells me is, now, make her sit down. Our hip is broken. How can you make her sit? She's on traction. Doctors are around. I looked around, there was nobody. And the doctors had gone somewhere, maybe on the lunch break, the nurse, there was no one around. But what should I do? Should I listen to him or not? Should I make her sit or not? Because if I make her sit, what about the hip? It may get dislocated, something may happen. Now what should I do? Well, I said, God, you're telling me to do it. Are you sure about it? Then I heard the voice say, do it. So I asked her, can I pray for you? She said, yes. Will you sit? She was so simple and perfect. She said, yes. So I told my team, just just remove the weight, just remove the ropes that are there. They remove the rope, leg fell flat, and I said, now in the name of Jesus, sit down. She sat down, and her hip bone was immediately healed. Now, I would not do it on my own. Only if the Lord speaks, I would do it. Because if I move in the flesh, nothing can happen. You come to be prayed for, you come to be prayed over by a human being, nothing can happen. But if the anointing is flowing, everything can happen. Anything can happen. Yeah. So as the Lord directs, as He speaks. You know, I had gone to Andhra Pradesh for a meeting, and there was a woman there who was demon-possessed. There was witchcraft done over her. The witchcraft was done over her, and because of which there was a growth on her stomach. Some kind of a growth, something hardened on the inside. Doctors could not diagnose, they were confused, what's happening? You know, why she's going through what she's going through. So she was brought for prayer. As I was about to pray, now there is sari, so the stomach is open here. Yeah? So as I was about to pray, the Holy Spirit tells me, I want you to lay your hands on her stomach, and I want you to pinch that area that is paining her. I was like, God, this is India. Not just India, this is a village. And you're telling me to lay our hands on her stomach and not just the pinch? Are you sure what you're telling me? That the Lord said, do it. So I asked that lady, my translator was there, I said, can I lay my hand? I did not tell her I'm going to pinch. So I asked her, can I lay my hands on the stomach where it is failing, where the trouble is? So she told the translator, yes. So I laid my hands. Now she is like waiting for me to be prayed. Her eyes are closed. And you know, they can pray long prayers there. Yeah? Long prayers. And she's waiting now. I'm going to make some kind of prayer. It's going to be another 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes. And she's waiting. I laid my hands. And all I said was, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Pinched that area, squeezed it. Ow! She screamed. Literally screamed. The next day, yes. After that scream, the next scream was, it's gone! It's gone! Free! That's only through obedience, yeah? Only when you listen to the voice of the Lord. I want to encourage us. Let us be a church that's sensitive to God. Let us be a church that's listening to His voice. Let us be a church that's alive, amen, awake, amen, seeking Him, chasers of Him, pursuing Him. I tell you, if we are such, we will never, never, never be in want. He will always meet us at a point of need. Always meet us at that place where you feel that you are lacking. Whether it's ministry, if you feel that there is need of healing, and if you're connected to Him, it will flow.
Amen.
If there is financial need, if you're connected to Him, it will flow. If there is a family situation, if you're connected to Him, it will flow. I tell you, God will lead you to do the impossible, the unimaginable. He will stir you up to do things. Logically, things make no sense. Make absolutely no sense. You know, when you talk to my children, you ask them about how things have been for the last, now my son is 19 now. The past 19 years, my daughters are 17, you ask them for the last 17 years, does it make sense how things, you know, how you are living? And they themselves will say, the math never makes sense. God's math never makes sense. How many of you know 5 loaves, 2 fish never makes sense? Never makes sense. If you want to see God move in your life, don't try to analyze Him logically. Because logic can never, never understand God. It only takes His faith.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Come to stir up the church. Let us be people who listen to His voice.
Amen.
Who listen to Him. You know, when I met my wife, Shweta, before we got married, she would be coming for the prayer services. And one day, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, she is going to be my wife. I was like, no, I have, I've got other dreams. Okay? I've got some better dreams. I was like, no, no, it cannot be. And that's it. The Holy Spirit was also speaking to her. Like, he's going to be your husband. And she's, no, she's also struggling with the same voice. Then I told the Lord, I told the Holy Spirit, fine, if it is your will, I want you to tell 3 people. I'm not going to speak anything about her. I'm not going to even give them a clue. They have to come to me and they have to put that seed that you are stirring in it. And the very next day, someone comes to me and says, you know, Michael, I'm suddenly getting thoughts. Shweta is going to be your wife. I can't even tell him. And the same way, another person comes. And another. I was like, yes. You see, when God directs your path, you will live a fruitful life. Now we are married. We are married for 24 years. Wonderfully married. Blessed by the Lord. Only God could have done it. We are from complete different backgrounds. She comes from a Hindu background. I come from a very westernized Christian background. But God made it work. Why? Because we listened to His voice. Your marriage will be blessed if you listen to His voice. Sometimes when issues happen in the marriage, well, the flesh will tell you, no, they are wrong. They are wrong. They have to change. He has to change or she has to change. But if you listen to His voice will say, nobody's still forgiven. Still not good. Your oneness is important. Love is important. Forgiveness is important. God takes priority in our lives. I want to encourage us today. Let's hear His voice. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your business, in every area of your life. Let's hear His voice. Let's hear His voice. I want to challenge us right now. I want to challenge us. Let's open up our hearts to God. Let's open up our hearts to God. Yeah. It's not just about being a Christian. It's not just about being water baptized. Do you know how many of us miss out because we just take that one occasion of being water baptized? Okay, now I'm born again. Okay, now I'm a Christian. And then we continue living a very mediocre Christian life. Then God has more to give you. I want to prophesy over you and say God has more to give you. He has more for you. You're missing it out. All you need to do is sit in His presence. Let Him direct your life. Let Him lead you. When you look in Psalm 23, He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. He leads me. Come on, that's very powerful. He makes me. That means that things that I don't want to, but because I'm connecting myself to Him, I will do it. At times, you don't want to. You don't want to forgive. Because you're connected to Him, you will forgive. There are times you don't want to give. No, we have a budget, right? Okay, this goes for the rent, this goes for the children's expense, this goes for the marketing, this goes for, we have a budget. And sometimes God will just disturb that budget. He will tell you to do something that will stretch you. You know, once somebody from our church was going to college and they did not have the funds. And that was a time where I was going through my own situations. They would be paying loans, the loan of the church, the loan of my house, my children's sports, their school. And the Lord stirred us up, give. I said, God, you know us. You're telling me to give. It's like I have 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's barely enough for me. You're telling me to give? It's barely enough. I'm just scratching my days, I'm just scratching through. I'm just somehow I'm making my ends meet. And you're telling me to give? God said, do it. We let go of whatever we had. We let go of it to be a blessing to somebody else's life. That person today has become a very great scientist. she's moved on. She's moved out of the country. God used us. Today as my children are moving into their education, I am seeing how God is supernaturally providing for them.
Amen.
You know, when I sit and tell people about how much I'm spending for my son's expenses now, the math does not end. Some of them, looks like he is loaded. Yes, I am loaded in heaven.
Amen.
I am loaded in heaven. My provision comes from there. My mana still comes from there. My provision, he is my father who provides. And that's what I want to tell you, as we obey him,